This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, horse people. This is Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Thursday, August 8th, 2013, episode 719.
Oh, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary. Pour a cheerful toast and fill it, happy anniversary. But be careful you don't spill it, happy anniversary. Oh! Happy anniversary.
Fred, you remembered.
Now it's a special day for Horses in the Morning. Not that every day on this show isn't special, but 5 years ago today, Horse Radio Network produced its very first podcast. So today, I thought it might be fun to listen to Glenn the Geek and Helena B's very first on-air adventures. Think of this as the podcast version of Baby Pictures, dug out from under the holiday table linens in your grandma's china closet. Enjoy.
Happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy, 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 happy anniversary.
The Stable Scoop Radio Show, Episode 1, Who Are We and Why Are We Here?
Stable Scoop.
This is Glenn the Geek.
And this is Helena B. Welcome to the introductory episode of the Stable Scoop Radio Show. The Stable Scoop Radio Show is part of the Horse Radio Network and can be found online at horseradionetwork.com.
You can also go directly to the Stable Scoop Radio Show at stablescoop.com. Hey, Helena, it's so good to be on the air with you again.
Oh, same here, Glenn. Boy, did
I miss
recording.
Long time. I know. It's been, about a year since we were on the Talking Equine Network.
Has it been that long?
I think it has. I think it's been about a year.
Well, that was a year too long. It's good to be back on the air and chatting about horses again.
So I think there'll be some people very happy to hear us back and then some not so happy.
I think my husband is one of those not so happy ones.
we'll play to the people who really do want to hear us back. If anybody didn't know, we were on a show called The Talking Equine Network. I believe that the website is still up there if they want to go back and listen to past episodes. We did quite a few. I think we did 20 to 30 episodes there. And then circumstances changed and we ended up back here. Now let's talk a little bit about the Horse Radio Network and what it's all about. The Horse Radio Network is going to be, this is the first show on the network, it's going to be a series of shows all about horses. We're going to cover many different topics, subjects. We'll have shows that are specifically for specific disciplines. We're just doing all kinds of different things as far as the shows are concerned. They're all going to be fun. If anybody knows us, they know we don't take ourselves too seriously, and it's going to be a bit of an irreverent look at things. Now, the Stable Scoop Radio Show, talk a little bit about what we're doing specifically on this show.
Okay. Stable Scoop Radio Show is going to be a weekly show that will air every Friday. What makes this different than anything else out there is that it's put on by regular horse people for regular horse people.
The regular horse people.
We're going to talk about, it's different than the Talking Equine Show, which is, as Glenn said, the last show that he and I worked on, which focused on interviews with big name riders. So Stable Scoop is at the other end of the spectrum. It's going to be more of a variety show. And we'll have lots of cool segments. We think you're really going to love it. It'll run the gamut. Everything from news to stable spotlights, websites of the week, listener emails, and a whole lot more. Glenn, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about what we're going to cover from the news perspective?
Yeah, well, every week we'll do a bit of news. We'll cover several stories, and then Helena and I will chat about it. We'll cover several stories. What's new? What's exciting? What's going on in the horse world? Maybe some stories, if they've listened to us before, they'll know that some of the stories will be a little off the beaten path, not always the mainstream stories. But the big story this week...
I thought you were going to say off color.
No, not off color.
That
will be a little bit off the beaten path. There's a trail riding bad pun there. So the biggest news, of course, this week is the Olympics. And the Olympics are starting on Friday, the day that this episode posts. And I'll tell you what, I went to NBC.com. If you want to see the Olympics this year and the horse stuff, forget watching it on TV. Watch it on the internet. NBCOlympics.com has the coolest setup for watching the Olympics by video on there. And the neat part about it is they're going to cover all of the eventing, all of the dressage, the show jumping are all going to be covered on the video portion of NBCOlympics.com. We all know they don't cover very much, and it always makes us mad every 4 years when they show 2 minutes of the eventing at the Olympics. And that's pretty much all you get to see. Well, here, you just go on there. There's a Watch Now button at the top of the... Click on that. You have to install a little piece of software, and it works. It's Silverlight. It's Microsoft Silverlight. You install it on your Mac or your PC. It worked great on both. I tried it on both today.
It's like a plugin.
It's a plugin, and essentially
a plugin specific
right,
to NBC.
Right. Well, it's actually Silverlight, which is a Microsoft thing like Flash. So it'll download to your computer, and it installed without any problems at all. And then you get this very nifty player that you can watch. It allows you to choose which sport you want to look, see what videos are already there, or watch them live. It's really cool how it's set up and how it works. And you can also watch four different sports at once. There's a player in there that you'll see that you can actually watch with four different little screens and pick which one you want to highlight. It's really cool. Today I was watching soccer's already started. Ladies soccer's already started over there, and I was watching four soccer games at once, which for me was way too much soccer, but it was pretty cool how it all worked and how you could go back and forth between the games. It was really neat.
Ooh. You know, they actually have a pretty cool feature up there about horse transport and some photos and videos of horses depart for Hong Kong.
Yes.
And, I've personally never seen a jet stall, but I think that's kind of cool that a little more background information.
They have a lot of neat stuff, too, about the riders. Down the links down the left, it says all sports. And under that, if you choose equestrian, there's all kinds of links and background about all the riders. It's really cool how they did it this year. The other cool thing is on the main link bar up at the top in the blue, there's one called TV and online listings. If you click on that, it's going to make you put in where you live so it knows locally what you'll see. But once you go in there, instead of clicking on TV, click on online, and it will show you by the day by day, you can pick a sport, and each day it'll show you what's on and what time. So you could watch it live, too.
And you can watch it. I think they're going to stream it live on the internet as well.
That's what I mean. You can watch it streaming live. Now, the streaming live on the internet will not have any commentary. It'll just be the raw feed. So right, exactly. That's what I was thinking. You don't have to listen to some inane commentary about horses. You can, and I noticed that the first one actually is Friday night at 7, I think it's 7:30 is the start of eventing dressage.
7:30, this Friday night,
the 8th. So that's actually happening online here the same time as the opening ceremonies. So they must have it delayed or on tape or something. Or they have the opening ceremonies delayed. It might be the case. So tape your opening ceremonies on TV and watch the start of eventing on your computer.
And, it might be a good idea, too, if you go to NBCOlympics.com/equestrian and bookmark it. This way, every time you launch your web browser, you can have this portal page for the equestrian sports right there. And pretty much everything you want to do with regard to streaming or watching the Olympics is right there at your fingertips.
That's a great idea. And it's funny because in the past, we've all talked about how we haven't liked the NBC coverage of the Olympics on TV, but their web department I'm impressed with so far. Now, we'll see if it crashes with everybody watching at the same time. So we'll see how long their website actually stays up. The other cool thing is once you find a show on that listings, if you go to TV and online listings, once you find a show that you actually want to watch, you can click on it and get yourself a reminder by email or by text message. It'll send you a text message 30 minutes before the show starts. So you could set them all up ahead of time and keep getting text messages so you don't miss anything. If you're at work, all I have to say is just be careful not to get fired.
Yeah, everybody needs their jobs, right? Everybody needs
and they have
to pay for their horses.
They have three different levels of viewing the video and downloading the video. They have three different levels there. So you can choose which level you want, and it will depend on your speed and connection. So if you have a slower connection, they still have a video option for you.
Okay, good.
So I think that's a great thing. Check it out. Have fun with it for the next couple of weeks. And I think one of the other things we're going to be talking about, I'll let you go over, on each episode, we're going to have a Stable Spotlight.
That's right. Well, being that our name is Stable Scoop, we thought it only appropriate that we spend some time chatting with stable owners from across the country. So each week we will highlight a new stable. We'll talk with the stable manager or the barn owner and just talk about their lives, what they do. It will cover many different disciplines, from the backyard barn to the high profile professional barn. You know what? What happens in every barn, pretty much everybody listening to this show is going to be able to relate to. You might find some ideas. You might learn some things that you didn't know about before. And you know what? You might win and share some of your own ideas with us. So this is part of the Stable Scoop Show that's really going to network and bring our listeners together. Somehow or another, we're all involved with some kind of stable. So I think the Stable Spotlight is going to be a really fun, fun segment to this show.
And seeing that I live so close to the Kentucky Horse Park, we have the 2010 games coming up. I live in Lexington. Everybody around here is very excited. There's a lot of construction being done on the roads, on hotels, and at the horse park right now in preparation for the 2010 games. Every 2 weeks, every second episode for the next until 2010, we'll be having an update on the games, on the construction over at the horse park. I have some friends over there that are going to come on with us, and we'll go over what's going on, how the preparations are going, what's new. So I'm very excited that we're doing that segment and that people can look forward to hearing about the 2010 games. You know, Helena, they have counters all over Lexington. These big counters, digital counters that are counting down the days to the 2010 games.
Really?
It's a very big deal around here. They're spending over $80 million just at the horse park and renovations.
You know, I actually heard from a little bird that the town of Lexington, or maybe it's the city of Lexington, has made some changes to their bylaws that allow limit the type of construction that can go on because they don't want all kinds of buildings and things going up just for these games. Is that true?
Over near the park, that's true. Elsewhere in town, that's not true. But over near the park, they're not allowing anything to go up on it's Ironworks Parkway there. They're not allowing anything to go up on Ironworks at all. So if you get off the exit there and go to the horse park is right off an exit off the highway. You won't see any new construction there. Matter of fact, they were going to build a hotel right at the entrance to the horse park. They were going to build this big hotel, and it fell through, and we were all very happy it did.
Oh, okay.
I personally don't think they need a hotel right at the entrance to the horse park. We just thought it would when you get off the exit there and view the horse park from the exit, it's beautiful because it sits down a little bit.
Yeah, you don't want to look at a hotel.
No, it's just beautiful the way it is now, and I just didn't want a hotel spoiling it. So all the locals here were very happy that fell through.
Are there plenty of hotels now that will accommodate visitor games?
There's a lot of hotels. Whether there's enough to accommodate what they're expecting, which is up to 1 million visitors, I don't know. My wife and I have actually thought about leaving town and renting out our house for that particular time. We thought we could probably go to Hawaii for about the same amount of money we could rent our house out for.
But then you'd miss the games.
Right, no, then we'd miss the games.
That's not an option.
And hopefully we'll be recording at the games. So.
Oh, that would be exciting.
Now, also, let's do a little veterinarian talk every once in a while. Not every week, but every once in a while, we're going to talk vets. What we're going to do is we have several big, anybody knows Lexington at all, has been to the horse parks, knows that the biggest of the biggest as far as veterinary clinics and research facilities are down here. And so we have Rudin Riddle, Woodford, Haggard, are all right down in this area. So we want to get some of the vets on to talk about the upping, not necessarily to do like we did on Talking Equine, we did an Ask the Vets episode. We want to do more of a segment on what's new in the research, what are the new treatments. So that's what we want to concentrate on in this show. So I think that would be fascinating for people.
Great. And we are also going to have, as a regular segment, website of the week. So that's weekly segment. And since Glenn and I are very much geeks, we will go out and highlight a very cool horse website each week. So for those of you who have a website, make sure it's neat and tidy because we're going to be out there looking for them. And we're going to talk about how easy they are to use, what they do for your business, if you have any cool pictures up there. You know, your website really needs to work for you. So let's go out there and take a look at some horsey websites.
Cool. That'll be fun.
And this isn't just stables, actually. This is informational sites, fun sites, games, all kinds of cool sites.
Yeah, we're into the quirky, weird stuff, too. And one of the other things we want to do, and that you'll find on actually at the horseradionetwork.com site, is a list of all the equestrian blogs out there. There's tons of people now that are figuring out blogs and starting to write blogs about themselves, about their horses, about their barns, about their competing. And what we're going to do is just get them on. We'll chat with them. Some of them are good, some of them are bad, so we'll try and get the good ones on and talk about basically their blog and what they're doing. And hopefully we can get you interested in following some of them. Some of them are really cool. When I was doing the research into this, there are some out there that are fabulous that if you just knew about them, you'd probably follow them.
Because they're addicting. They're
exactly.
Addicting. Once you start to read one or two entries, then you can't wait to see what happens next.
Right. I mean, it's so cool. I got addicted to a couple of them, and I'm following a couple of them now. We'll actually talk about RSS and how you can follow them easier. We'll tell you the tricks to following blogs easier, where you don't even have to go to their website every day or every week.
Okay, that's now RSS is an area that I haven't had much experience with, and I'm guessing that most of our listeners are probably not comfortable with it either. So that'd be good, Glenn, if you could lead us through the RSS.
Good.
I'd be very happy.
No problem.
And another segment we're going to bring you every week. We're going to make it easy for you to be part of our show. We're going to feature listener voicemails and emails. You can email us at geeks@horseradionetwork.com. That's geeks@horseradionetwork.com. Or call and leave us a voicemail on the Stable Scoop voicemail at area code 270-803-0025.
Yeah, that's going to be fun because, Helena, because we're actually going to play those voicemails, some of them. The ones that are appropriate, we'll actually play them on the next week's show. So you'll be able to hear yourself on the show.
That's right. So your voice is going to be broadcast on the internet on the Stable Scoop radio show. So when you call and leave a voicemail, say nice things.
That's right.
Because
right.
we might just publish whatever it is you record.
And that's 270-803-0025.
Don't forget, it's geeks@horseradionetwork.com. We will read your emails on the air as well.
Good. And so we're anxious to hear from them about what they want to hear on the show, what we were talking about previously, if they agree or disagree with us, all of those things.
If you have a good story to tell, if you have interesting or unique things, or not so interesting or unique things, just everyday, regular, blah, 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 what happens in my stable, we want to hear about it.
That's why it's called Stable Scoop.
That's right.
And we'll be doing a ton. There are a ton more segments, which we're not even going over today. And, you know, one of the things we've been remiss in doing, Helena, is talking about ourselves and why, what experience we have and why anybody would want to listen to us in the first place. So why
don't you want to, I don't know. That's a good question.
Even after we tell this, they may not want to listen to us in the first place. But go ahead.
Why would anybody want to listen to us?
Let's hear about Helena.
So I'm going to tell you a little bit about Helena. That's me. I live in New England, and I hate the long, cold winters. I love horses. I have one husband and one daughter who's 5 and a half. And I ride a couple of horses. I pick all the hooves. And sometimes I teach a few lessons here and there. But mostly for fun, I ride out with the Myopia Hounds out of Hamilton, Mass. That's where I'm based. A lot of you may have heard of Hamilton because it was formerly the headquarters for the U.S. equestrian team.
Right down the street from your house, wasn't it?
Right down the street. Yes. In fact, I can hack right over there. It's Gathering Farm. You know, pretty much everywhere you go in Hamilton, there is a stool to jump or a trail that will get you from here to there. It's actually a really great place for a horse person to live.
Except
and,
for
you
the
know,
winters.
The other good thing, The winters are tough, but you know what? Everybody goes down to Aiken, so who knows? Maybe I'll jump on that bandwagon.
So now you said just have a question here. The old headquarters there, that's Gathering Farm now. What do they use it for now?
Right. Now it's a boarding stable, and mostly eventers and dressage. Actually, a little bit of everything is there. Same high quality standards that they had years ago, just obviously a little less high profile now.
And an absolutely beautiful place.
Absolutely beautiful. I mean, you can't beat. There is one gorgeous strip of countryside up here in New England. It does make, you know, for the 9 months or the 8 months out of the year that beautiful up here, it makes it worth living through 4 months of cold.
Okay, I'll believe you on that one.
Yeah, and we get to go on sleigh rides. There's a lot of driving people up here, too. A lot of driving people. That's about, that's me.
And then you...
I'm just your average, everyday horse person who likes to chat.
And we should mention that you're a geek. You do build horsey websites for people.
Oh, okay, if I must. Yes. I'm the chief cook and bottle washer of a small marketing firm called The Barks. And we focus on websites and marketing pieces for horse businesses. So what we like to do is help people who are experts in horses get a leg up on their business and make a couple of bucks doing it.
And that's at thebarnworks.com, right?
That's right.
Oh, cool.
And what about you?
And I am Glenn the Geek. There are those of you out there that might remember me from years ago from the Horse Stuff Company, used to own and run the Horse Stuff Company. Those of you that do remember from there, remember that we used to have the most humorous equestrian tax site on the internet. All the descriptions were funny and not everything was a little out of the ordinary. And then I worked for a number of years for Bit of Britain. Started what most people will recognize as tackoftheday.com. I was the original geek at tackoftheday.com for 2 years. So all of that stupid humor, you can credit to me for 2 years. But now, for the last year, you can credit it to Helena because she is the geek now for tackoftheday.com. Helena and I also did a show called the Talking Equine Network Show, where we interviewed all the big names and riders in the eventing world. And as I said, you can find that at talkingequine.com. You can find the old shows if you want to listen back. They're still good, even after all this time.
Yeah, and great interviews.
Yes, some really good interviews.
Yeah, we got David O'Connor on there and Kipperson.
I've also been a horse person for the last 20 years. However, I married it. My wife was the horse person. And then after we owned a farm for a number of years with 20 horses, I learned a lot about horses. And became interested in them. I'm a driver. I drive ponies and draft horses, like both ends of the scale. Still work with the draft horses over here. I still help out with the draft horses over here at the Kentucky Horse Park, which is kind of fun. Matter of fact, the picture of me on the website is with Charlie. He's the old guy at the Kentucky Horse Park. He's a Percheron, about 24 years old. He's a retired Percheron. And he's my buddy. I help take care of Charlie.
He's a cutesy pie. Yeah. He's huge.
Yes, he is huge.
His head is about the size of your whole, from your torso.
I know. He's from the top of my head to like my waist is his head. You'll see it in the picture. It actually is kind of funny. He's actually not as big as some of the other Percherons they have there, but he is a big guy.
Now, how old did you say he is?
He's 24.
He's 24. And I see in the picture that you've got a paint over his nose.
They do that. That's required at the horse park for all the draft horses that are led around have to have chains.
Because
it's just a requirement of the horse park. Probably something to do with their insurance or something.
Okay.
So they just do
you figured if after 24 years he hasn't gotten his yayas
out. He doesn't need a chain at all. As a matter of fact, I'm holding his head up because he kept wanting to sleep and fall asleep during the picture and his head kept dropping. So that's me holding his head up is what I'm doing. No, but that's why the chain in the picture. Now, the first official episode will be live. We'll be coming to you in 2 weeks with the first official episode, and that'll be live on August 22nd. So subscribe.
That's a Friday.
Right. I'll be posted every Friday. So subscribe on your iPod. Put a reminder on your calendar. We'll be back, and we'll be rolling on August 22nd, and then we'll be weekly thereafter.
Get everything set up.
Right.
And bookmark horseradionetwork.com and StableScoop.com. What is it?
StableScoop.com. It's simple. That one's easy. Nobody's going to forget that one. StableScoop.com, and it's spelled just like it sounds. No funny spelling. It's just the way it is.
That's good, because I've been riding a 4.5-year-old lately, and when I get off of him, I just, everything has to be easy.
So I did have somebody ask me, is the scoop, are we referring to the pitchfork or the scoop that's in the feed bin?
Ooh.
And I said, well, it's neither of those. It's more like a scoop on a news story. We have the scoop. So I got out of answering that.
I think of it as the, well, you know, it's sort of a play on words. It's the feed scoop, because I don't scoop poop. I mean, I do scoop poop, but I don't think scooping. I think of it as picking
or mucking.
Right. But I definitely scoop feed.
Well, there you go. Well, we're going to scoop information and fun.
But you know what? That's where all the good talking happens, is in the feed room.
That's right.
It's in the grain room when you're setting up dinner or breakfast.
It's just like the house. Kitchen of the barn.
Yes, it is. That's a good perspective.
Yeah, I never thought about that before. But all the talking takes place when you have company in the kitchen. Well, that's just the kitchen of the barn.
So it appears that poop conversations have been part of the network from day one. Don't forget to surf the web for off-kilter classifieds. Email them to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com with bad ads in the subject line, because on tomorrow's live show, like we do every Friday, the reading of the ads will reveal the top two, to whom we will present the following prizes. A grooming tote of essentials from horsegroomingsolutions.com. Your tote will be filled with great products to keep your horse's coat in tip-top shape every day, like Silverado Detangler, perfect for horses with dry, brittle hair, Healthy Hair Moisturizer, your economical, everyday way to keep skin and coats soft and healthy, Healthy Hair Care DermaClean Shampoo, the protein-enriched antibacterial shampoo, Healthy Hair Care Sunflower Sunscreen to protect your horse's skin and coat from UVA and UVB rays, and Silverado Coat Gloss Hair Polish for a show ring shine that helps repel dirt, dust, and stains. You can find all of these products and more at horsegroomingsolutions.com. And we will be giving away a Dr. Rose's Remedies gift pack. Dr. Rose's Remedies skin treatment salve and spray are 100% all natural products. They are anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal. Dr. Rose's are made with all human-grade ingredients and are safe and effective treatments for scratches, cuts, abrasions, scrapes on your horse. I love them especially for dew poisoning, which is something that Glenn's new pony PT gets pretty regularly. Ask for Dr. Roses at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at drrosesremedies.com. And now we present episode 2 of the Stable Scoop radio show, Glenn and Helena B's second attempt at on-air podcasting, which also includes chit-chat about poop, right after this. Jen here, host of the Horse Tip Daily Show on the Horse Radio Network. The way consumers interact with the brands they have trusted for years and those they are about to fall in love with for the first time is becoming more and more mobile, literally, and will continue to do so for the foreseeable future. Podcasts or internet radio shows like this one combine the new consumer preference for on-demand information and entertainment with the power of niche market audiences. Advertising on the Horse Radio Network podcasts allows you to reach the equestrian consumer using today's preferred on-demand delivery system. It's cost-effective and flexible, able to reinforce your existing marketing and social media strategies. To learn more about advertising on this show or any of the shows on the Horse Radio Network, contact us at 859-951-2022 or you can email us at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. That's Glenn with two N's at horseradionetwork.com. Come and join the Horse Radio Network family. You'll enjoy the ride.
Episode 2 of the Stable Scoop Radio Show, Poop Eating Worms and Other Olympic News. Stable Scoop. I am Glenn the Geek.
And I am Helena B., and this is the Stable Scoop Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network.
Hey, Helena, how about that new theme song? Isn't that pretty spiffy?
I love it. I love it.
I know. That is really cool. And actually, that was done by a friend of mine by the name of Rob. He lives in Pennsylvania, and they're musicians. They have a group called the Rob and Todd Show, two guys who play a lot of clubs and get hired to do gigs. And I asked him if he would do a theme for us, and that I didn't give him any guidance at all, and that's what he came up with.
I just like to hear my name set to music.
I know. It is cool. It's so exciting to have our own theme song. So I think everybody's going to hear that. They'll hear it at the beginning of every show, so they'll know we're listening to the Stable Scoop Radio Show. I have to listen again to that middle part. Something about poop. I don't know if he was picking on us there.
No, that's the best part. Laugh till you poop. Who doesn't do that? Come on.
All right. We have a full show today and so much to cover. Oh, by the way, I will put a link to the Rob and Todd Show. I'll put a link to their MySpace address in the show notes. So anybody that may need them to record any music for them or anything, they'll be happy to do it. And I'll put a link in the show notes.
Cool.
We have a lot to cover today. What are we talking about?
Oh, boy. We've got, we're going to start off with news, and there's a lot of it this week, especially with the Olympics. We have a wonderful discussion, an Olympics discussion, with Jackie Baker of RegardingHorses.com. That's a fabulous blog. And, of course, with the showdown and the jumping finals at the Olympics against Canada, we razz our friends to the north a little bit. We spoke with a very nice lady named Sylvia Schneider, who also has an equine podcast that is called, oh my God, I'm going to butcher this, Equinely Inclined.
That's it, equinelyinclined.com.
And some noteworthy events and a whole lot more.
Good. Sounds like we have a full show today. Let's start off like we're going to start off every show with the news. And I have, you know me, I don't go for the traditional stories. I find, I'm a horse husband, I find the weird stuff fascinating. So we're going to open the first news episode of the Stable Scoop Radio Show with manure. Specifically manure at the Olympics. Actually, Jackie did a story on Regarding Horses about how they're handling the manure for the Olympics in Hong Kong. And I just found it kind of fascinating. They have 200 horses, and they spent almost $5 million building a composting plant to deal with the manure for this Olympics and for the Paralympics that's coming up next month.
Oh, my goodness.
They spent $5 million. The Chinese were real serious about making sure everything worked here, but they spent $5 million on a composting plant. Now, you have to understand, 200 horses isn't that many. At the Kentucky Horse Park, they'll have 1,000 over the weekend, on every weekend.
Yeah, but there's going to be a lot of poop.
Yeah, it's still a lot of poop. They said it's 20 to 30 tons a day.
20 to 30 tons a day. But this, I'm guessing that the $5 million were spent more on the technology versus the size.
Well, you know what the technology is? And I had to laugh at this too, because they're using earthworms from mainland China that basically turn the feces into fertilizer. Ooh. And so that's what they're doing. And then I got to laughing and thinking, didn't they have any earthworms in Hong Kong? Are they special earthworms? You know, there was just a lot of questions it brought up all about manure. There's the first story. And I had to laugh, too. I have to read this part of it. It says, in an effort to stage a green Olympics, the process is aimed at eliminating pathogens and containing potentially odorous emissions.
Oh, gosh. All right.
So there you go.
I like the earthworms part. I like that, you know, that whole green process, the breaking down of horse poop, but potentially odorous, just to say stinky.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And do the earthworms just eat the stink? And
what?
If that's, well, you know, I just got thinking about that. And I was thinking, well, you know, Lysol is probably going to be selling earthworms in a can soon, if that's the case.
Somebody's going to come back and hear just that section of this podcast.
I know.
Do earthworms eat the stink?
I just found the whole story funny. So,
but I know what you mean. I think the earthworms contribute to the breakdown. The earthworms actually aid in the composting of the material.
Yeah, but eating the stink is funnier.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you're going to transition from that story into safety stirrups.
Okay, well, the Olympics.
I don't know how you're going to do that.
It just runs the gamut. This is what you're going to find in the Far East. Well, actually, anywhere. The news topic that I've got for today is safety stirrups for Olympians. And I am so excited to read this because when I first started riding, a grown-up using safety stirrups was a no-no, or you were kind of looked upon as a sissy. And I'm really glad to see that safety has gone up from the lowest of the low, from the little kids and ponies and beginner adults all the way up to Olympians. In fact, Rodrigo Pessoa and Ludger Bierbaum are among two Olympians who use this new high-tech stirrup. These things are freakishly high-tech. And I wouldn't even know how to pronounce the name, X-Up Stirrups. Anyway, they feature an automatic release, which you can get with any kind of stirrup, a peacock stirrup, or they have those new fancy squiggly stirrups and all that stuff. But it's kind of cool that everybody's thinking about safety, not just for the kids and the beginner adults.
And we'll put a link, actually, so they can see, or we'll put a picture on the show notes.
Yep.
So they can act. Now, I can't imagine these things are cheap.
No, I mean, come on, anything that's high tech. And as soon as you put the word equestrian in front of it, they're going to jack the price
up. I mean, they're really, I had read, around 265 euros, which is almost $400.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, Herm Springer puts out their bow balance stirrups, which are also a safety stirrup because of the design of the actual iron, the metal. And those are 200 and change.
So, you know that that kind of pricing on a thing like stirrups sends all of us horse husbands just into cold sweats. You do realize that, don't you?
Yes, I do. That's why I don't tell my husband anything about it.
That's right. That's what
but you don't have to spend $200 or $400 to have a safe stirrup.
Right. I think it is kind of neat that safety has become, you know, you see the Olympics now and they're wearing their helmets and the straps are actually strapped.
Yes.
You know, it is different. Things are changing a little bit, and safety is becoming more of a concern as we go along.
Well, particularly with stirrups, because there's a fair amount of falls and crashes, and while a lot of people will get away without head injuries, it's not uncommon to get a foot hung up in a stirrup.
Right.
That's very easy to have happen. So, and particularly at the levels at which these riders are riding, it would be brainless to not have a safety stirrup. So.
And, you know, it's even easier to happen when your horse is too fat. And I saw this the other day. I saw this article, and it's the World Horse Welfare Charity out of England. They did a study, and they went around, and they actually weighed 230 horses in the UK, and they found that 81% of them were overweight. Wow. Basically, we're feeding our horses too much. And, you know, you've had the same situation where you've gone to farms and you're going, they're feeding this horse way too much. This horse is just too fat.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it happens more. I think you find that we always talk about the cases where they repossess horses because people aren't feeding them at all.
Right.
When actually the majority is they're feeding them too much. And, you know,
I would like to know which 230 horses they sampled.
Well, that I don't know.
This comes from being married to a research analyst. I always want to know who was the control group, which 230 horses, was it a double-blind study?
I don't have all of that information, but obviously this was talking about, you know, and you know, but that is why some of the feed companies have come out with the diet foods and things like that, because there are a lot of horses out there. And of course, it's bad for them to be too fat as well as it's bad for them to be too skinny.
That's true.
Because of laminitis and everything else.
It might not have to do all that much with how much they're eating, but more with how little exercise they're getting.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I just thought that was an interesting study. And speaking of eating, that brings me to one of my other stories for the day. I had found this interesting facts on the Budweiser Clydesdales.
Oh.
And it was recently put out, and I'm doing a blog post about it, so you'll see it on my blog on stablescoop.com. They have 6 hitches that travel around the country now. And they actually were started, I didn't realize, in 1933.
A hitch is what? Like a unit of horse and...
6 horses in each hitch.
Okay.
So each hitch has 6 horses, and there's 5 traveling hitches that go around with the big wagon and the dog and everything. And they actually have to be a gelding, at least 4 years of age, and they must be 18 hands. That's part of the qualification. They also must have 4 white stockings, a white blaze on the face, and a black mane and tail. Those are the only ones that qualify for the hitches. And they breed all their own, so there's a lot of them that don't quite make it, and they all weigh about a ton. They eat, this is, gets into the eating part. They each consume 25 quarts of whole grains a day.
Wow.
50 to 60 pounds of hay, so that's a bale of hay a day, and 30 gallons of water.
Yeah.
So 20 to 25 quarts of grain a day.
So what do they do with the Clydesdales who don't come out looking like the standards? That
you know, that's a good question. I don't know if they sell them off. Maybe one of our listeners could write us at geeks@thehorseradionetwork.com and let us know what they do. I don't know.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
I don't know. They actually have three tractor trailers, and anybody that's seen the Clydesdales has seen the tractor trailers. But with each hitch that's going around the country, they have three 50-foot tractor trailers, some for the horses and some for the equipment. And they're all equipped with cameras in the back to monitor so that the drivers can see the horses. And the other interesting thing is that, and I found this fascinating, having driven horses before, and for all of you out there that have, the reins weigh 40 pounds.
Oh, goodness.
And with the tension on the reins, it's equal to 75 pounds.
Oh, goodness.
So it's like you're holding 75 pounds in your hand driving these horses.
The horses can go up to 2,300 pounds apiece. So,
right.
That's a lot of... That's a lot of weight.
That's a lot of horse. It was funny because I help out at the horse park over here in the draft barn. So I help harness up the horses, and each harness can weigh as much as 130 pounds. So that's just the harness on the horse. I mean, it's just incredible when you put that much horse together, six of them. It's amazing what you have to deal with.
Yeah. And I mean, their sheer presence is impressive, and you can... You know, everything that goes into it, the weight of the horses, the care of the horses, the size of their harnesses, their tack, their shoes, everything that goes into them, all of that is wrapped up into this one thing, this one image that you see and you feel.
Right.
Its enormity. You feel it. It's not something that you forget. Yeah.
You do feel it coming.
Imagine what it's like for one of those guys to step on your foot.
Right. Yes, I have had that happen because I own Percherons, and I have had that happen. And you know it for a couple of days. It's not one of those things that goes away quick.
Yeah, and they're not the quickest moving things, so they kind of step and spin, and they look around like they don't know you're on their foot.
Right. Well, I think that people have been waiting, and we've been putting it off. We probably should. There's a lot of other news, but the biggest news right now, of course, is the Olympics.
Yes.
And I think that we should talk a little bit about the Olympics today. We did pretty well in some areas. The United States did, and in other areas, not so well this year. But in eventing, the Germans took the eventing team, and they took the eventing gold and individual. They did a good job there. The Australians actually came in silver in eventing, with Great Britain coming in third. We actually came in seventh. Amy Tryon fell off actually during cross country, so that didn't help us. I felt bad for Amy. She was really upset,
but she's not hurt.
No, she wasn't hurt, and the horse was okay too. So that was all good. As a matter of fact, I didn't hear anything about any injuries that caused problems with the horse or the riders at this show. It's turned out to be a very clean show. I have to say that the coverage on NBC has been great.
Yes.
It has been wonderful. They're not doing so many of those vignettes like they did in the past, where all you saw was a vignette and then they didn't show you the sport.
Yep.
They didn't show you the actual competition. Here, it's just been great. They've had so many stations, and of course, if you watch online, it's just wonderful.
Mm.
And I don't know how much you've gotten to watch, but they have done a good job. And actually, I got to say, the Chinese have come through too here with a beautiful venue and everything just running smoothly.
I've gotten to see most of the coverage online through the NBCOlympics.com. I would either watch it live streaming, or if I missed it, I'd download the video, which was fabulous, because it was hard sometimes with the programming. It was hard for me to catch an event live. So it was nice to have the video available almost immediately after to download.
Right, and you didn't have
to
listen to the commentary.
I saw the cross country. I saw the Australians go cross country.
Mm-hmm.
The course was formerly, or is part of, a golf course.
Right, exactly. It's every horse rider's dream to ride on a golf course.
God, yeah. It's fabulous. And, I have to say, there was, I don't know what fence it was, but it was, I want to call it a tabletop, but for those of you diehard eventers out there, you can correct me. There were two wooden pandas
Yes.
Right, just sitting right inside the bushes there.
Yep, yep.
Bright white and black. And the fence was around a curve. And I'll tell you what, there is no horse that I know in my entire lifetime that wouldn't come around that corner, take that jump, and completely spaz out.
Yeah, they did have some tricky elements, yet I think that they were pretty fair this year, although you did see a lot of people with penalties on cross-country, too. So I think they're figuring it out. I think the designs are getting a little safer and a little better that way. And, of course, we have to send our kudos out to Gina Miles, who did a silver in individual.
Congratulations, Gina.
Yeah, it was her first Olympics, and she took away a silver, and she was thrilled.
And she co-owns her horse, McKinley.
Yes.
Right? Which is nice to see a rider who's invested in her animal.
Yeah, she actually co-owns it with Thomas Schultz and Laura Coates. So, yeah, she's partly owns it. It's one of her animals, and she's done a great job. Actually, she was interviewed also on the Talking Equine Show, our previous podcast.
Yep.
So we're going to try and get her back here. She's going to be kind of busy, I think, for a couple of weeks. But we're going to try and get her back over the next couple of weeks and have her on the show.
You know what I find really interesting about Gina Miles is that at 34 years old, she's the youngest competitor on the U.S. eventing team, Olympic eventing team, which is fabulous because, you know, gymnastics and diving and a lot of the other sports, they're kids we're talking about, 16, 18, 24-year-olds. For 34 to be the youngest competitor, I think is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, that is neat, and you don't see that anywhere else because I'll tell you what, when you watch the gymnasts, they don't even look like they're 16.
No,
I mean, these look like little kids.
Yeah.
And when you hear them talk, they talk like little kids.
Yeah.
It is interesting. But then dressage.
Very interesting. You know, at one point I remember thinking that watching dressage was a little bit like watching paint dry. You know, until you really know what you're looking at.
I know. I still have to agree with that a little bit. Being a horse husband, I can't admit that I actually like dressage. But I did watch it.
You can appreciate the effort that goes into the level of training that's required to do what they're doing.
Yes, definitely.
But it's pretty cool, like even for the non-horse person, to watch dressage to music.
Yes, I did like that. I did like the freestyle, yep.
Yeah, and Stefan Peters, I thought, did a great job. It's unfortunate he was out of the medal running. But I love
and you know what's other, what else is unfortunate with him is right on the TV coverage on Oxygen when they had the freestyle, they showed him and went to commercial in his ride and came back and he was done. So on TV, you didn't get to see the whole thing. So we had to go back and watch it on the internet.
That's where I watched it.
Yeah.
And I thought he actually did better than how he placed.
Right.
But then when you go and watch Anki, man, oh, man, that was seamless.
Yeah, she was beautiful. It was just incredible to watch.
So
it's a step above with Salerno.
Yep.
Yeah.
It is. It was a step above, and it was clear. You know, it's... But, you know, that's the Olympics. It's not totally objective.
And it was dominated by the Germans, Netherlands, and Denmark, all in the same part of the world. They had gold, silver, and bronze in the team. And then the Germans, of course, took the gold as well, so in the individual.
Yep.
And Isabel Wirth was second, and she had silver, and then Heinke Kemmer had the bronze,
right.
in the individual. So, and then we had the fourth. And actually, we took fourth in the dressage team, too. So we were fourth in the team and actually fourth in the individual. So we weren't too far off this year. 4 years, we'll be back.
Right. However, show jumping is a whole different story.
Yeah, show jumping was great. We have to congratulate the United States team for taking the gold in show jumping in a jump off at the very end. It was very exciting.
And we beat our friends to the north.
Yes, and actually we're going to have one of those friends to the north on the show here in a little bit to talk about Ian Miller, which is, he's a true legend in the sport of show jumping. We'll talk a little bit with Sylvia today about Ian Miller and what he did for the Canadians. But first, the United States team made up of McLean Ward, Laura Kraut, Will Simpson, and Beezy Madden came threw in, had wonderful jump off, and it didn't even go to the end because we ended up winning it with one rider left, I think.
Man.
So it was a great thing. It was almost perfect that it was against the Canadians, and it's great for them because they really haven't done too much in Equestrian Olympics either.
No, so it's been a long time since they've placed this high in children.
Yeah. So we're very proud of all of them. They did a great job. It was fun to watch, and the courses were beautiful. The jumps were impressive. It was just a well done. It was well done overall.
Yeah, you have to give the Chinese credit for creating a wonderful venue. The courses were good. I mean, even the arena for dressage. I think they did. I mean, from what I could see on my computer screen, it's not like I was there, but it looked like they really did a nice job with the venues.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll tell you what, let's go ahead, and while we're talking about the Olympics, somebody that had the best coverage ever, and she's our blog of the week, was Jackie Baker from RegardingHorses.com. She covered the Olympics as a blogger almost better than the big sites did, than the Equine.coms and the Equisearches did. She had it laid out so nicely, and I encourage everybody to go to RegardingHorses.com. We'll have a link in our show notes on StableScoop.com. She did a great job covering it. She broke it out by the day. She put her own commentary in there, and let's get her on right now. Hi, Jackie. You have done such a great job with Regarding Horses as far as Olympics covers. There's no other place in the equestrian world that has covered it so well. You've done better than the big sites.
Well, thanks. I'm glad to hear that that's gotten out there. That was kind of the idea. Back in about mid-June, I went looking for some information just on the Olympics to write up, you know, maybe a post or two about it, and discovered that it was very difficult to find, and none of the major horsey websites were covering the Olympics yet. So I decided, well, if they're not going to, I am. So I started going out and digging up all of the information that I could and writing general information about the three disciplines that are included, and rider profiles and news, and posting the U.S. equestrian teams when they were announced, and just covering all that information ahead of time because I noticed that nobody else was doing it. And they all started, you know, a week or two before the Olympics, but because I'd already been doing it for over a month, I already had more information and better visibility, and people who were coming and reading regularly.
I loved how you broke it out. You did it by the day. I mean, it was just so easy to follow with the way you did it. You obviously took some time doing this.
That was a favorite of mine, too, the way you had it in sort of chronological order, so that those of us with very limited time could just log right onto your blog and go right to the day that was relevant at the time.
As far as the results?
Or just what was going on, day 10 versus day 8 and day 11.
Mm-hmm.
You could kind of pluck your little spot in time and see what Regarding Horses had to say about it.
Yeah, that was a nice way to do it because, you know, a lot of the other places you can just go find final results and here's where everybody ended up. But if you weren't able to watch or, didn't have access to the TV or the online channels, you could go and see what happened each day of the competition and how it progressed from day to day, which is really interesting to see who's leading one day and who's leading the next day and how the different teams are doing throughout the competition.
Right. It's like attending it virtually versus, like you said, going and looking up just results or snippets of information. This is more like attending the event.
Exactly.
And you did a great job, too. You added your own commentary, and you obviously took some time to write all of that. And blogging takes time. People don't realize how much time it does take.
Yes, it definitely does. I would sit there, and I'd have the videos playing on half of my screen because I watched almost everything live, and I keep a Word document up, right next to it, and just keep taking notes as people were going, just, you know, things that I noticed and things I was thinking as they were competing. And then as, you know, the video was over, I could go back and type it up into a coherent blog post and put up the results for the day.
Did you find yourself getting sidetracked and getting really involved in the streams or the videos and forget to take notes?
I did sometimes. I didn't take really copious notes. There's probably more I could have done with it. And I didn't necessarily get to watch every single rider in every single event. But I made a point of watching all of the ones I knew were top riders or who were coming in at the top of the standings. But it was, especially during that last day of dressage, it was hard to take notes because it was so much fun watching the freestyles. And I didn't want to miss what was going to happen next.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, were you a veteran blogger before this, or is this all just a great big experiment?
Regarding horses is the first blog of this type that I've run. It's almost a year old. So it's my first blogging experience, but I have a pretty strong writing, research, journalistic kind of background. So it was just kind of moving those to a different medium.
Yeah, you can tell in your writing that you've written before.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's engaging. It's great. It's to the point.
She's probably waiting for the other shoe to drop. We've been doing nothing but complimenting her for 5 minutes now.
Well, that's our job, Glenn. That's what we hopefully want to get paid for someday.
Encouraging us. Keep me going.
Obviously, you've been doing this for a year. Was this your biggest hit as far as the number of viewers?
Oh, definitely. It's been commenting on other blogs and, you know, getting involved in the community and making friends online. And so I had a solid basic readership, and every once in a while I would do a post that would get a lot of search engine traffic. For instance, I did a post about the Budweiser Clydesdale commercials and posted a few videos from YouTube. And for a while I was writing about therapeutic riding, and ABC's Extreme Home Makeover did an episode where they actually did a therapeutic riding center along with a house. And so I wrote about that ahead of time. And so I have a few things like that that got a lot in Kentucky Derby time. You know, and I was maybe seeing 400 visitors on my best days when those were spiking. And I started doing the Olympics, and that started multiplying by 10s and 20s and just going up incredibly. So I've gone from maybe having 150 people visiting a day and 30 subscribers to, at my highest, nearly 8,000. And I've been averaging between 3,000 and 4,000 people a day on my blog since the Olympics started.
Wow.
Oh, congratulations. That's
fabulous.
It is. It's exciting. And it's fun, too, because it's not just people in the U.S. where I'm based. I've got people coming from countries all over. I've had people commenting on from Afghanistan and Australia and New Zealand and Denmark and all kinds of places all over the world, which is really exciting, the way that the Olympics has been able to bring horse people from all over together in one place.
Now, do you, like, have a real job too, right?
Oh, yeah. This is all on the side.
What do you do?
I am actually an internet marketing consultant. I actually do on my job. Part of my job was starting a blog just to get some practice. And so that's one of the reasons I originally started, but it's something I wanted to do anyway. So it's been great practice for me in my professional life too to run this blog, because I've seen how the optimization and the networking and the social media and link building and all of those different things that I do in my job, I've gotten the kind of practice and see how it can work on here.
Do you want to put a plug in for your job?
Sure. My company is called SiteLogicMarketing.com, S-I-T-E, and we do consulting, and primarily for organic search, which is all of your natural search results, none of the paid stuff.
You're doing search engine optimization type work?
Yes. Okay. We focus on natural search. We don't do any pay-per-click advertising, but we do usability is a big area, the search engine optimization and the analytics, where we're looking at the stats and figuring out what's happening and why on websites are a few of our main areas. But we can also do social media campaigns, and we do a lot of blog coaching and a lot of training.
That sounds like fun. So you're a geek, too.
A little bit. I'm more marketing than geek, but because I spend my life on the computer, I've learned to be a little bit of a geek.
Yeah, well, you're a blogger. You're a geek now.
She probably has a lot of geek friends.
That's true.
You can't bring a blog to the internet that's this smooth without having some serious geek friends.
All right. Yeah. We'll be lucky if we have any listeners. We have three horse geeks sitting here talking right now. I think everybody just tuned out.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Horse geeks are a market. They're not going to tune out.
No.
Well, we appreciate you being on. Again, it's regarding horses, just like it sounds. It's spelled just like it sounds. And we'll have it in our show notes that they can find a link there to your website at regardinghorses.com. And you're also, we have a list of blogs on the website. You'll find a complete blog list, and you're listed in there as well. And we also have a page where we're showing the blogs of the week. So you are our blog of the week, and we'll have a little highlight in there about you for this week. So you'll be found many places on our website where they can get to you.
Well, great. Thank you so much.
All right, Jackie. We'll talk to you again soon, and thanks for being on.
All right, sounds good.
We'd like to take this opportunity to thank our friends at Easy Signs Online for sponsoring the show. You can get all of your farm or business signs there. They have large ones, small ones, fancy ones, simple ones, so your big entrance signs at the end of your lane at the farm, or your tack room sign, whatever you want, banners and post banners and entrance signs, magnetic vehicle signs, outdoor signs, they have them all. What's really cool about Easy Signs Online is you can order right there on the website. It's all automated. It's very nice. You don't have to fret about it. It's just right there. You just put in what you want. They custom design each sign for you, send you back the proof so you can see them. You know exactly what you're getting. So whether you're looking for a sign for your farm, your ranch, your business, or your home, check out EasySignsOnline.com and or visit their website today or call them toll-free at 1-800-640-8180 for more information. And please note that there's currently a 10% off sale on a select certain select style of signs, so check them out. Well, it was nice of Jackie to stop by with us today and pay us a visit. I know she's busy doing all her Olympic coverage on Regarding Horses, so it was nice of her to stop by and do that.
Yeah, great blog.
And I heard you had some fun last weekend. What were you up to?
Oh, I was horse shopping in Pennsylvania, your neck of the well, your hometown neck of the woods.
Did your husband know you were horse shopping?
No, I told him I was going on a book club adventure. That seems to work. Yes, he did know.
He doesn't listen to these shows, does he?
No. He knows. Okay, he's too smart. He knows not to.
It's a good thing.
His blood pressure is nice and low. He doesn't need to tune in. Yeah, and unfortunately, my 15-year-old quarter horse partner, Zeke, has to be retired from riding. So he's got an elbow injury. So I'm keeping my eyes open for something that's fun and wise and sane. And I went down to Pennsylvania to a couple of places, one of which is Watts Horses, and they're in Denver, Pennsylvania. Really nice husband and wife team that work with camp horses and lesson horses and all kinds of good old sane, sweet horses who've been there and done that. One of the friends that I was traveling with was looking for an experienced eventer, and that brought us to a fellow by the name of Vince Dugan's stable.
He's down in Unionville.
Yeah, which, yeah. Oh my gosh, Unionville is gorgeous.
Yes, it is beautiful.
Oh, I'm in love. Every time I saw a for sale sign, I thought, I got to buy this farm.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unionville is always also very expensive.
Oh, well, I can see why. So we got to meet and talk with Vince Dugan personally, who is definitely an old-time character. He is so knowledgeable about horses. He is not as young as me, I'll put it that way. But, man, this guy can ride circles around a lot of the jumpers, hunter-jumper riders I've seen.
Yeah, he's sort of a legend.
Wow. Knows his stuff. Yeah. He was talking about telling jokes and talking about horses and riders and some of his old competition days. And he's talking about, he'd say Bart this and George that. And he's talking about Denemethy and Morris and Joe Fargis. I mean, these were his peers. And I definitely felt like I was in the company of greatness and a really, really nice guy. Just that he and his wife, Janice, were so friendly and so accommodating.
Well, they live right down the street, don't they, from New Bolton, the horse hospital?
Yep, right down the street.
In where Barbara was.
There's a really interesting story because they had this really sweet orange tabby cat, who, you know, barn cat, sweet guy. And Vince was telling us that one day the cat had crossed the road and was unlucky enough to get hit by a car. And the doctor, the surgeon, well, Barbara's surgeon, had taken the cat and reconstructed his hips to save life. You know, the choice was put the cat down or let's do some serious surgery. So
I didn't know they did cats.
I don't think that they typically do. But there's
for Vince, they're going to do a cat.
So Barbaro's surgeon, his doctor, actually put back together this orange
Vince
cat.
Vince Dugan's cat.
Yeah, and I had the pleasure of petting and enjoying some sunshine with his kitty. And he seemed better than new.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you had fun, and I'm listening for next week as we highlight our stable of the week, and we do a 2010 WEG report, or World Equestrian Games report. I also posted a blog this week showing the construction from the World Equestrian Games. You can see it at Glenn's blogs at stablescoop.com, and Helena has posted another blog or two, so take a look at our blog entries if you'd like. Also, you'll see all of our show notes at stablescoop.com. Just click on the individual shows right there in the middle of the page, and you'll go to our show notes. We also encourage you to call and give us feedback. We want to hear from you. Give us a voicemail. You can call 270-803-0025. That's 270-803-0025. Leave us a voicemail. We'll play it on next week's show. We'd love to hear from you. Please call us, or you can email us at geeks at horseradionetwork.com. That's geeks at horseradionetwork.com. So the shows are posted every Friday. Subscribe through iTunes. Hit that iTunes button. If you don't have iTunes, stop back to the website every Friday and listen. We love to have you on board, and we love to get your feedback. And we'll see you again next week, Helena.
Absolutely. With the scoop.
All right. Bye-bye.